Tuesdays at 1:20 mean. Brandon Adams joins the show, host of the Dog Nation Daily podcast. Follow him on Twitter at Dog Nation Daily as well, where you can at times see him being a little petty.
Petty towards BA right there.
Some of the other college football fans across the nation, which there's nothing wrong with.
Love
That's a big part of being a college football fan in and of itself. BA, how are you?
Petty B.
You know, I am as God made me. Not always perfect, but I guess hopefully always authentic.
Yeah, that's all we can be. Just be your true self. Let me ask you this, because obviously this game on Saturday is huge. We've been looking forward to it since the schedule came out. Both teams have lived up to it thus far, and it's going to be, you know, a top four matchup in Tuscaloosa. But it's also the first game between Georgia and Alabama post Nick Saban. How does that part of it impact your analysis of this game?
Well, as someone who is a partisan, right, someone who wants Georgia to win,
right,
I'm hoping it matters a lot because, I mean, I think at times, obviously, we love football, so therefore we have a tendency to look deeply at it, and maybe we overcomplicate it. But let's just be, like, simple base level here for a moment. You know, a guy that most of us would say is probably the greatest coach of all time to this point is not coaching for Alabama on Saturday. In just sort of simple, basic language, I hope it matters. I mean, if you're a Georgia fan, I think you should hope that matters because – I think playing Alabama in the past, you were of the belief that they probably weren't going to make the late mistake. They probably weren't going to do anything to make it easier for you. In fact, there are plenty of times in which Alabama has probably played better against Georgia than it did against some of its previous opponents. Just somehow, some way, Saban had them ready for that moment,
right,
to his credit. And so if you're a Georgia fan, I think you hope there is some sort of moment in which you notice, oh, it's not Nick Saban coaching for Alabama now. Something uncharacteristic happened that was maybe the sign that this was a slightly less experienced coach, a slightly more of kind of an outside figure to like the current SEC culture. If you're a Georgia fan, I think you hope there's a moment in which you're reminded of that.
When you look at it, you know, and we can go coach and everything like that, but I want to player to player. And I said this, BA, and it's just my early Tuesday thoughts I thought about last night going into this game. Which, and I know it's a lot of times in a big game, but the quarterback position to me is going to be key. And a lot of it because of what we saw the previous week before these teams had bye weeks. Carson Beck in Lexington, then you saw Jalen Milroe, what he did to Wisconsin. How big, as far as that quarterback matchup, are you looking at this week?
Oh, I think it's huge. And I think it goes to this. Look, Carson Beck sort of has everything money can buy. He's got, like, the nice car. He's, you know, seemingly making a lot of money NIL-wise. And no matter what the results of this season are, he's likely to get drafted still high enough. He'll be a very, you know, rich man in the future there as well. But there are also certain things that money can't buy, the kind of accolades that you get because of how well you play in big games. I don't care how rich you are. You just simply can't purchase that. Mm-hmm. It's the sort of thing that can only be earned. And someone like Stetson Bennett, for instance, who had far fewer – you know, probably, I guess, financial rewards that maybe we would assume that Carson Beck is either getting or will get in the future. He certainly had all of those big game performances. He had the kind of cachet that could only come because of what you earned. I mean, he earned that in big games. And so Saturday is a great day for Beck to go out and get something for himself. It's a chance to go out and add to a legacy in addition to being a prize draft pick and being a well-paid player, to actually be somebody who creates a legacy for himself that can only happen in kind of a rough-and-tumble road game like this. It's a huge spot, really, for both quarterbacks, but obviously Carson, the one that so many of our folks are probably thinking about.
How do the kind of the ebbs and flows of the college football season impact the way that this game's already being talked about this week by kind of the national folks, and then also just how you're feeling about it as well? Meaning, after week one, Georgia did what they did to Clemson, and everyone was, you know, oh, look at Georgia, they're still Georgia, and they're dominant and all this stuff. And then, obviously, the Kentucky game wasn't that way. Conversely, what Alabama's done up until this point, like, how do you feel like all of the context of the games that have been played leading into this game are impacting the way folks are thinking about this game?
So we know that we make a big deal over small sample sizes in college football. Our full season is actually still a pretty small sample size. So we know that we overinflate the importance of one game. And so I think the one thing you have to do is understanding that we're going to make more out of a small sample size. We probably should. We should at least count all of this as equal data. For instance, you know, you can make a big deal about Georgia not playing well against Kentucky, but it has to be of equal importance that Georgia also blew out Clemson. Like, you can make a big deal of Alabama going on the road and winning easily at Wisconsin, but you should also acknowledge the fact that they could have lost, and at one point in time it seemed like it was a possibility, to South Florida. So all of this, I think, creates a pretty muddy picture, you know, given the fact this game also comes earlier in the season. But because of where it is on the schedule, I think it also makes the result, you know, kind of in some ways more important, because what you don't want to be in a year in which you think you can lose maybe a couple of times and still make the playoff, to give one of those losses away so early in the year, especially in the case of Georgia, who has to go to Texas and everything else that happens after that, you certainly don't want to put yourself in a position where you're playing a must-win game sooner in the season than you'd like to. And the longer you postpone that loss, if a loss is eventual and inevitable, maybe it is, maybe it isn't, but if you assume that Georgia will lose eventually, the longer you can postpone that loss, the more I think you sort of protect your playoff fate.
What do you hear, B.A., from some of your people up there about as far as the availability of some of the big names on the defensive side of the ball?
Well, it certainly sounds like the guy who's probably closest to playing may be Warren Brinson. You know, we've joked about this, certainly playing in the past, but when it comes to, you know, like a guy like Mikael Williams, Kirby saying the dreaded, we're hopeful to get him back. I mean, that might as well function as an obituary when it comes to, you know, his chance of playing on Saturday. And that's just never quite been a great thing from Kirby Smart. You know, the one guy that he's praising as far as his attempt to recover here is Jordan Hall. And I don't know that equates to playing, but Kirby has certainly said a lot of nice things about him. I mean, what I've been told is that Brinson should be about ready. And that's a guy you probably need. And it may not show up in a stat sheet, and it may not show up, you know, in terms of even all that noticeable during the game. But guys like Christian Miller and Nazir Stackhouse played a lot of snaps against Kentucky. And so the more bodies you can put in there, a little more from Xavier McLeod, hopefully a lot more of Warren Brinson, you know, I think the more you can do that, just the better you make it for yourself overall. I mean, I do think, you know, based on what I'm hearing, it's kind of time for Brinson to be back. And so hopefully, you know, everything's happening to kind of get him ready to do just that.
Brandon Adams joining us here on the Midday Show with Andy and Randy, host of the Dog Nation Daily Podcast, talking about Georgia and Alabama coming up on Saturday night. Where do you feel like Georgia has clear advantages, and where do you feel like Alabama maybe has some advantages themselves?
Well, for Georgia, it was supposed to be offensive line and quarterback. Now, I'll be honest with you, I don't know that the Georgia offensive line has played yet as well as I assumed that it probably would, and now you got Tate Ratledge injured.
Yep.
So that's a huge potential advantage for Georgia that kind of hasn't shown up that way on the field and now gets more complicated because of the Ratledge injury. But I do still believe that group probably plays really well for UGA on Saturday. And, you know, Carson Beck is just supposed to be a better quarterback than Jalen Milroe. Milroe got the head-to-head win last year, but Beck is just supposed to be the guy that's making the bigger throws. And I think Saturday is that day where, you know, he needs to show it. And I think if you're a Georgia fan, you have some confidence that he will. I mean, the truth is he didn't shy away last year, for instance, in the Florida game from talking about how important that was for him going back to his hometown. So hopefully, you know, he kind of takes a little bit of a similar mindset here of, man, this is an important game for me. I came back to Georgia for games like this, and that he really does go out there in kind of that sort of gunslinger top duel and just get the best of Milroe. I think if you're Georgia, that's where you're hoping your advantage is really lost.
Yeah, a couple around the SEC questions for you, B.A. Real quick, Missouri, is that their clunker against Vanderbilt? And two, is Hugh Freeze already like ruffling feathers down there in Auburn?
So I think both these are really interesting topics. Let me do the Freeze first, then I'll do the Missouri. So I know this sounds weird because the college football world doesn't have a draft. I sort of get the impression that Auburn is tanking, that they are okay with being bad as a way of convincing their donors to give more money and showing, you know, whether it be transfers or high school recruits, we've got NIL dollars to pay you, and we've got playing time to offer you. Look how bad we are. This is how bad we need you. I think that's pretty much what Auburn is advertising with the 2024 season. I think they're about to even play worse in future weeks than they've already played here right now. And I think that the Auburn people might be patient with that if they thought 2025 was going to be better. But when Hugh Freeze goes out and says a bunch of crazy stuff and saying that you would beat Arkansas 9 more times is kind of a crazy thing 1 week after you lost the game.
The word more is problematic, because in order for there to be more, you would have had to have done something once, right?
Like, yeah. I mean, it's just the very, very strange. Like, he runs the risk of, like, ruining with his mouth the level of patience that might still be extended to him. So I think he's going to be really careful here. He's not very media savvy for someone who's been around the SEC for as long as he has been. And in the case of Missouri, you know, if you've got teams in the league moving up, and I believe that Tennessee probably is, then somebody's got to be somewhat displaced by that, even if they're not playing head-to-head. And I think that Missouri right now might be a team kind of moving down. You know, barely beat Vanderbilt, did not cover the spread against Boston College. You know, this is not a team right now that looks like the same one that, you know, that beat Ohio State in a bowl game. They lost their defensive coordinator during the offseason. Sometimes that's a little bit of a precursor of a guy maybe knows that the last good moment was kind of in the recent past as opposed to the future. And so it sort of seems like to me that Missouri might be kind of coming down a bit from where it was at the end of last year, making some room for another team like, say, Tennessee to perhaps ascend a little bit.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about the ascension. I think Missouri is clearly the answer to the question, which SEC team maybe has done more damage or hurt its perception in the first month or so of the season. I hope that this is a hard answer. I don't know if it is or not, but which SEC team do you think has improved their overall perception in the first month of the season?
I mean, I think it should be Tennessee, and there's always going to be a little bit of skepticism. You know, we're obviously mostly talking about Georgia, so let's use Georgia fans as our, you know, kind of template here. A little bit of skepticism of, oh, they haven't played anybody and, you know, whatever else. But the truth is that they're playing much better defense than they have at any point in time in the Josh Heupel era. In fact, I think most people who have only been scoreboard watching probably think it's Nico the reason why they're easily winning the games they played. I think he's been fine. I think he's a really impressive talent. But he hasn't had, like, what I would call a special season. But they are much better defensively, and I do believe that whether it's Georgia or Alabama or some of these teams that have to play them, I think Tennessee right now has the look of being a pretty tough out.
Yeah, I think so too. I mean, Texas going from 2-1 is impressive as well. But I'm with you on Tennessee. BA, thank you.
Appreciate it, B.
Fun to be with you guys. Enjoy the games this weekend.